Find this podcast and others like it at the number one new media network, Podshow.com. Better, faster, stronger. And now with new minty fresh scent.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow. LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, make it more possible.
And you're listening to Windy City Queer Cast, show number 51. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. And
from my car.
Oh my goodness.
We're in the car. This isn't the first podcasting car.
No, podcast. No, it's not. But I think
it's
our first. Yeah, I think it's our first from the car. Are you ready? Shout hallelujah! Come on, get happy! I'm so excited.
Pro Exit Bush.
We are on the way to see who?
Babs. Barbara.
Babs.
Going down the stony end.
Oh my God, we're going to fight with all the Jews in the parking lot. I can't wait.
We are. Can I pretend I'm Jewish?
Sure.
Darling.
Sure.
Barbara looks fabulous.
Darling.
Keep the politics at home.
Boy. Speaking of politics, I did get out there. So we're going to tell folks we've got some great stuff coming up later on in the show, but we recorded this on Tuesday. Did you go vote?
Yeah. Yes, I did vote. I voted early this morning.
Me too.
My little precinct was so excited. They were all like, we've had 50 people here today. I thought, good Lord, is that it? But I guess that was big numbers.
Wow. What time was it?
About 9:30, 10.
Oh, wow. I voted at 7, and the polls had been open for an hour in Lakeview, and there were already like 250, 300 people through the door, she said.
Yeah, see, I have a tiny little district. You live right in the gayborhood, where people care.
And all the homosexuals got out there and voted. Okay, so did you get the weird write-on ballot? I had to write on mine.
Yes, where you had to put the little arrow,
like
blacken the arrow between the two lines. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. We only had one electronic little machine.
Yeah, we did too.
So everybody had to do it the old-fashioned way, which I thought would be a Chad, but there were no Chads.
Yeah, there were no Chads.
No Chads.
None. But I felt like in the middle of it, like my marker was running out, and I thought, oh no, teacher, I need a new crayon. I got a little worried.
Already? It's 7 a.m.?
Yeah, but they were busy.
Well, they're saying, because the day has gone on, and they are saying that it is not a huge voter turnout, they don't think, today. At least in Illinois, but we'll probably have more because, you know, driving to Barbara Streisand on election night, I have a feeling she's going to have an ear prompter. We're going to be getting amazing coverage. If something big and bad happens, we might get a fuck out of tonight. I really do. Or a motherfucker or a cocksucker. That would be great.
Yeah.
Barbara Streisand saying cocksucker would really just be... I would throw money at the stage. That would... She's already charging so much money for tickets.
Like a Judy Bartostinka or something she'll come up with. Something good like that in the gubernatorial race, which was the hardest one for me to decide, I have to say.
Yeah?
I was just...
What was your thinking? Because her hair alone made me vote for Blagojevich. His is not better, but hers is not on God's color chart, so...
Well, it's just so interesting what they've been doing with the budget in Illinois, or what he's been doing with the budget in Illinois and what she's been proposing as far as changes go. You know, she's very intimate with the numbers because she was treasurer, so she has very close, I think a close understanding of what's going on with the money in the state.
Right.
So it's just interesting to see how they both have different spins. And she's a woman.
And she's a huge friend of the gays.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. As is he.
As is he.
So they're both, unfortunately, anti-gay marriage, which I don't like, but...
Right.
What are you going to do, lesser of two evils? Pick the devil, right? The one in the blue dress or the one in the red dress. So,
right. You going to tell us what you did?
No, I'm not. I'll tell you who, after they win, I'll tell you who I voted for.
Oh, okay.
So maybe on the later podcast, we'll know.
All right.
I'm sure she'll announce it during the program. But damn it if there wasn't another divorce. Entertainment
I
news, Amy Matheny.
You are so good on your entertainment
news. Kay, Fed, and Brittany is gotten divorced.
Mm, they got some childrens all up in there and that, too.
And new babies.
Like a hillbilly that she be.
She hasn't even lost the weight yet from the baby, and she got rid of... Oh, my God.
I think she just went in for the babies. She's pulling a true Madonna. Remember Madonna when she just found the stud for the first kid?
Yeah.
For Lourdes?
Yeah.
Just beautiful stud man?
Oh, yeah. What was his name? He was handsome, and he was a dancer, and...
Exactly. Yeah. See? Same thing.
Oh, there you go. Is that what
same
it is?
Same thing.
K-Fed. His new album is just about to come out, too. I'm just so...
And he's coming to House of Blues in Chicago.
Really?
Yes. I don't think he's attractive at all. Do you think he's cute?
I think he's kind of got this gruff thing, but, like, he needs to gain more weight, and then he would look attractive, I think.
Yeah.
I think if he filled out a little, because he's so skinny.
Yeah.
Too skinny. He needs a little pot belly.
Yeah, he is. He does not do it for me. So, I'm not surprised. I was surprised they had
a
second kid, honestly. The second kid is what surprised me.
Well, I'm not mad at her, because I think they're both well off, and the children are going to have plenty of money, and they'll have a loving household, and blah, 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 all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, he's just gotten himself a nice second home, because she's obviously got to have something nice enough for her children to go and... Her children to go and stay with daddy.
Right, because he's not going to be like...
I'm making a U-turn on Ashton. Oh, I'm probably going to get a ticket right now.
No, you're not. You're going to be fine. Because you know where all the cops are? They're actually hanging out watching people turn left on Belt.
Well, that's good.
It's good as gold. So other than that, it was a fairly boring day. I was just trying to hang out today. And I was nervous all day about the election, I have to say. I was text messaging everybody, telling them to vote.
It's very angst-ridden, isn't it?
Seriously.
Illinois is not the state to worry about. I should have been calling everybody in Tennessee, but... I mean, I think people have to want to do it. And they either do or they don't. And we'll see how angry the nation is and wants change. You know, there's also the ballot on the... amendment on... Or the question on the ballot. It's not really anything. It's just getting a temperature of the nation of whether or not we should pull out of the war immediately.
And yeah.
They said that so far, even in some conservative states, Kentucky, Virginia, the numbers are very high to get out of the war. So, and in states where they're already voting for the marriage amendment, they're still voting in Democrats. So there seems to be this interesting balance that people are taking that is, whatever it is on social issues, it's definitely anti-Bush. So it's just going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Right. Well, I just hope the Senate comes out in the... In a lighter shade of blue instead of more red, so we'll see.
For a shade of red. Okay, favorite Barbra Streisand song you really hope she sings? And then you can pick one just from Yentl.
No, I think it's actually got to be Get Happy. I love it with her and Judy, I think, the most, but...
But
I think that's got to be it. That's just... I don't know, I just love it, how nasally she is.
Well, if I had to hear, for the first time in this season, a Christmas song, I'd love to hear her sing Jingle Bells, but I don't think she's going to do that.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Love to see the Jews sing the Christmas songs better than the Christians.
Something about it, they just feel a little bit more. Well, and Jingle Bell is, you know, it's sort of not O Holy Night or something
That's
like
correct.
That. That's
correct. And anybody who did go to my cabaret a couple years ago knows that one of my favorite guilty pleasures is the main event, but I don't think she will sing that tonight.
I don't know. She might. I heard she was pulling some stuff out.
Pulling out some disco trends.
So we'll see. I mean, you never know. There's a lot of gay around here, and we're very gay friendly, so she might just make us happy in that regard.
Well, hopefully they will let us do a little podcasting from the Bud Light booth,
suite,
which we will be in tonight, and maybe we can kind of give you a play-by-play, because as I said, I was just in Tennessee to be home, and at this AIDS benefit that I went to, a guy had just driven down. As I told you, all the homosexuals were there.
Right.
So anybody in my town who would have seen Barbra Streisand in Atlanta was in that room, and a guy had just seen her the night before. So it was fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. So, and that Il Divo sings with her, not before her. So
which, you know, it's commendable.
That's kind of nice.
It's her show. She better sing the whole damn time.
I hope so, for that much money. I hope she figures out how much money a note it is. Do you remember her One Voice concert, and she figured out, it was a Democratic fundraiser, and she figured out how much money per note she was actually making per ticket price, because I think the tickets were like $2,500 back then.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just imagining lots of sequins, lots of flowy, sparkly something's red, lots of glitterati on her body.
And as Wanda says, her microphone will match whatever. It'll probably be white because that's what she likes, right?
She may trade it up. She may be go a tan, a bone, a beige,
gold,
if you will.
Yes.
Gold. Wanda started her podcast right after she saw Barbara with, "I have just heard the voice of God."
Yes.
That was, I think, exactly how she put it. So it was delightful. And
well, having seen Celine, I can see the original now in Barbara. I will never see Judy. So I can now die. Can Now Die musically fulfilled by the voices of the women
three.
Before?
I don't know. I've never seen Gladys Knight live, and I have a feeling she can kick some ass.
I am sure she can. I am sure she's intense.
She's intense with it. So with that said, we will be back in just a little bit for some more banter and some more bash. And folks, we've got a great show. We're going to have a post-election wrap-up.
Yeah.
So you're
going to
get this
The real
election
results.
Wrap-up. So you're going to get this crazy temporal shift in this show, but that's what podcasting is about. It's not about linear. It's about fabulous. We'll be back after this.
In Paris, they broke the rules. In Saigon, they broke our hearts. Now, the creators of Les Miserables and Miss Saigon break ground once again with their boldest, most breathtaking musical ever. The Pirate Queen. A grand adventure and a passionate love story, The Pirate Queen tells the tale of a brave woman who became the greatest heroine of her time and a legend for all time. From the producers of the groundbreaking phenomenon, Riverdance, comes an epic new theatrical event. Boubile and Schoenberg's The Pirate Queen. Don't miss the world premiere pre-Broadway engagement at the Cadillac Palace Theater now through November 26th only. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com for The Pirate Queen.
Making your travel plans for fall? Thinking about that Christmas visit to mom's house in your old bedroom? Let the experts at GayHotelDiscounts.com find the luxury you're looking for at a price you can afford. If you need a queen in Phoenix or a king in Miami, GayHotelDiscounts.com can find the perfect room for you and your partner. Visit our website for gay destination cities and extracurricular ideas to dance off that second serving of mom's apple pie. GayHotelDiscounts.com for the gay traveler in you.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Your true genius combined two of man's favorite things, panties and food.
I can taste it now.
They're a snack. They're underwear. They're a snack and underwear. Brilliant.
Two treats in one.
Gorgeous grape. Rock my world raspberry. Bodacious banana.
26 flavors.
And nothing says, I want you like a man with a mouthful of underpants.
I want you, baby.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker. Because thanks to you, when it comes to panties, extra large means extra yummy.
Yummy.
Light beer at Isabu, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
And for the week of November 6, 2006, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents the world premiere of Argonautica, The Voyage of Jason and the Argonauts, written and directed by Mary Zimmerman. Set sail in this ancient epic tale of the quest for the Golden Fleece. Argonautica, playing now at Looking Glass Theater in the Water Tower Waterworks on Michigan Avenue. Phone 312-337-0665 for tickets or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
In conjunction with its production of Lillian Hellman's The Children's Hour, Timeline Theater Company announces 10 performances only of a one-woman play, Lillian, by William Luce, starting November 12th. Based on Hellman's life, Lillian was described as ribald, poignant entertainment by Time Magazine. For tickets, call 773-281-8463 or visit timelinetheater.com.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company continues its 10th season of Think Theater with The Real Thing, Tom Stoppard's sharply funny play about love and marriage, November 15th through January 7th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets to The Real Thing, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
Shameful paths led them here. Scarlet secrets keep them here. Andrew Lippa of Broadway's The Wild Party premieres his new musical, Asphalt Beach, at Northwestern University's American Music Theater Project through November 12th only. Welcome to Asphalt Beach, New Jersey, where a ragtag band of misfit girls struggle daily to break out and break free. Visit tic.northwestern.edu or call 847-847-847. 491-7282 for tickets.
Dating is hell, especially when Mr. Perfect happens to be the son of Satan. About Face Theater presents Say You Love Satan, a gay romantic comedy. The Sun-Times says, give the devil his due and see the show. Say You Love Satan is playing now through November 11th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. Call 773-871-3000.
Meet the Hubbard Family of Alabama in Lillian Hellman's Another Part of the Forest, now at Writers Theater. The envy of the South in 1880, the Hubbard family is uniquely Southern and has a reputation for success at any cost. Another Part of the Forest playing now at Writers Theater, 847-242-6000, or log on to writerstheater.org.
About Face Theater and Looking Glass Theater present Clay, a one-man hip-hop musical written and performed by Matt Sachs. Sachs is a powerhouse, says the Chicago Tribune, and Windy City Times says, rush out right now and get your tickets. Clay, now at Looking Glass Theater, Water Tower Waterworks. Call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
Oh, so much theater and so much more. So for more, call, go to Culture Club and visit WindyCityTimes.com.
This is Logan Schwartz and Grubinier from the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And my two dads and I are completely buzzing about this week's bee in my bonnet. This bee is as botched as Senator Kerry's jokes. Yesterday, Senator John Kerry tried to make a joke about President Bush, but he messed it up. And now everyone wants him to apologize, even my dads and I. Because there's nothing that we hate more than missing out on a joke about President Bush. This is Logan Schwartz and Grubinier, and that's the bee in my bonnet. Be sure to check us out on the web at spellingbeethemusical.com/Chicago.
And hey, it's time for your Windy City Queercast giveaway. This time around, we're going to try something a little bit different. We've got some Bud Light stuff to give away. I've got a t-shirt and a hat and maybe a keychain for you. We will mail it to you. So if you want to win some Bud Light prizes, send us an email at wcmgpromo@aol.com. Please be sure to include Bud Light prize in the subject. And make sure you send us your address so that we know where to ship it to. Once again, if you want to win some Bud Light stuff, send us an email, wcmgpromo@aol.com.
Hi, this is Neil D. Paris of NewWorldAstrology.com on Windy City Queercast, and this is your Out in the Stars forecast. Some of you may have heard of Mercury retrograde, which is a phenomena which affects all of us. Computers malfunction, communication goes squiffy, and back up your computer data disks. Be careful what you say over email. They may get sent to the wrong person. Expect travel delays, tires get blown, take your car in for a checkup. Mercury retrograde affects everybody for 3 weeks. We're right in the middle of it right now. And we'll go through the forecasts and see what it means for each individual sign. Aries, it might not be over. Mercury retrograde's bringing endings back. If it's still around, maybe it still holds promise. Don't throw it away just yet. Taurus, you're scheduled a heart-to-heart and to revisit old relationships and their issues. Is an old lover returning? Are you questioning your current partnership? Something's unresolved, ready for resolution. Gemini, it's time to get back on track with your health. Look back, is it working for you? Maybe hit the gym, change your dietary habits. You need a shake-up to get back on track. Cancer, reevaluate your romantic prospects. If things aren't fun anymore, find a new way. Boredom has no role in your life. Keep creating instead of being a consumer. Leo the Lion, so much is going on in your personal life. Forget chasing professional rainbows. Catch up with time at home, projects at home, and get back in touch with members of your family to resolve conflicts. Virgo, check your car, double check your emails. Like we said earlier, Mercury's retrograde forcing you to go back and redo a lot of things. That's also very similar for Scorpio. Keep tuned for that. You need a timeout, Virgo. Switch off if you can. Catch up on writing to friends. Libra, keep an eye on your purse, wallet, handbag, and checkbook. Mercury's retrograde affecting your bank account. Check your statements. You might find money under the bed. If you can, hold off major purchases for now. Scorpio, deja vu. Ever get the feeling it's happened before? Well, it has. Yes, this week you will notice, along with next week, recurrences. You have to go back and do things over and over and over. All that's happening is Mercury's retrograde. It's asking you to slow down instead of forging ahead, and asking you to recreate your life without seeking any firm results just yet. Sagittarius, a strange sleep pattern may overcome you. Are you getting enough sleep? Are you overdoing it? Are you staying up late? Or have you insomnia? Look at your dreams. Your unconscious is throwing you things that need resolution. Old demons return. Capricorn, old friends are appearing back on the scene. Are you being a good friend? Maybe it's time to ditch somebody in your life who is dragging you and keeping you back. Are you being a good friend? Ask yourself this. Be there for the people you care about. Aquarius, Mercury's retrograding at the top of your chart, which means there's career shakeups. Maybe it's something with the boss that's going on right now. Set yourself new targets. Be careful. Authority will crack the whip if you break rules now. And finally, Pisces, you're going back somewhere. You're rereading old material, and you're relearning old lessons. Do you even know what your truth is? Basically, play a good student. You still have a lot to learn, so sit back, smile, and listen up. That's this week's Out in the Stars. For personalized readings, reports, and your own unique birth chart, visit newworldastrology.com. For Windy City Queercast, I'm Neil D. Paris.
And this is your Windy City Queercast news. From New York City, the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, in collaboration with asylumlaw.org, announced the launch of a new free online library that will document human rights abuses against GLBT people and people living with HIV/AIDS around the world.
And also in New York, the Metropolitan Transportation Authority is implementing regulations to allow people to use its public restrooms consistent with their gender expression. The new regulation ends a complaint filed with New York City Commission on Human Rights involving a 70-year-old transsexual who was arrested 3 times by transit police for using the women's restroom at Grand Central Terminal.
And fashion forward Ford. Gay clothing designer Tom Ford came in 5th place in a list of AskMen.com's top 49 men. Actor George Clooney topped the list with rap star Jay-Z in 2nd. Adventurer entrepreneur Richard Branson. Gave us brands in Missouri in 3rd. And that bromance guy, cyclist Lance Armstrong, coming in for 4th.
She can go head-to-head on the courts and on the campus. Lesbian tennis icon Martina Navratilova is condemning hormone-related experience on gay sheep at Oregon State University and Oregon Health and Science University that seek to make the animals heterosexual. Navratilova faxed letters to the presidents of both universities saying, "How can it be that in the year 2006, a major university would host such homophobic and cruel experiments? I respectfully ask that you pull the plug on this appalling and misguided research."
And the success of Superman Returns, helmed by gay director Bryan Singer, has prompted Warner Brothers to greenlight a sequel. The first film has earned about $200 million in this country and almost $390 million worldwide, so you'll get to have one again, boys.
And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jerry Potter's Music Picks this week. Well, I just got back from the Barbara Streisand concert. My friend is on tour, the tour manager for her. She hooked me up with some tickets, a tour book. I had a wonderful evening, and I got to see Rosie O'Donnell there. Windy City Times this week has my pictures. I'll also try to publish them on the website for us at Windy City Queercast. That brings us to another fun new music. It's from Lady Sovereign. She has a new CD called Public Warning, has a single called Love Me or Hate Me, and has a remix with Missy Elliott on this track. Really fun. And a good overall CD. This is a young rapper from England, which tries something different. I also like the new Gwen Stefani CD. The new single is called Wind It Up, which uses a sample from The Sound of Music. How gay is that? As far as looking up any of this kind of music, I prefer Amazon.com. That tells you when things are coming out. And then you can also listen to certain tracks off of CDs. Now keep listening to Jerry Potter's Picks, because past picks have included Pet Shop Boys and Regina Spektor. They just played here in sold out crowds in Chicago and have been featured all over the place. Jerry Potter picked a pick of Peckle Peppers. This is Jerry Potter. Keep listening to Jerry Potter's Picks on Windy City Queercast.
And folks, as always, we are joined by our illustrious movie critique at large and just captain of the silver screen, if you ask me, Richard Knight Jr. His column is Night at the Movies, and I swear this man watches, I don't know how you watch so many movies, Richard, it's amazing, but we are joined by Richard Knight Jr. here. Hey, baby, how are you?
I'm great, and I love being described as illustrious and as the captain of cinema.
The captain of cinema.
Whatever that is.
You are the captain of my cinema ship, let me just tell you that.
You're the captain of my cinematic heart, Peter.
That's delicious.
To quote an 80s song. date myself immediately.
Honey, I date myself just about every night and every morning. It's wonderful.
I said to you, but I'm here still loving, folks. Enjoy your steak.
Enjoy your stay. So it's November time. We just got through Halloweeny. We're about to eat turkey. Tell us what's going on in the theaters first.
Well, first of all, I want to give a shout out immediately to Chicago area, Chicago folks, because our big Reeling Film Festival is going on as we speak. It's the second oldest gay and lesbian film festival in the country, second only to San Francisco. Big surprise there. And this is 25 years. It's the 25th anniversary. So lots of wonderful things. Opening night, we saw the first gay sequel ever, Eating Out 2, Sloppy Seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And we've had some celebs here. And then we're going to close. There's a lot of great stuff. We'll give you the website in a minute. A lot of all lesbian, gay, transgendered, any, all GLBT stuff, focused movies, shorts, experimental stuff. Actually, the film festival started because the program director, Brenda Webb, really, really loves experimental film. And a lot of early experimental filmmakers were gay or lesbian.
Mm.
Interesting.
We're just so creative that way.
We are very creative. Let's just, I guess we should be patting ourselves on the back.
Backside.
Because others probably won't. But anyway, so she's, for the closing night, they're going to show some very, very rare gay and lesbian themed experimental shorts, and some just by gay and lesbian filmmakers, including, of course, Scorpio Rising by Kenneth Anger, some early Andy Warhol, some of the early lesbian filmmakers. So there's going to be a whole night of really cool experimental stuff. That's on the 12th. And then there's a big gala party at the Brent Elfin here in Chicago afterwards. So that's just because we want to give a shout-out right there. All the information about that is available, screenings, tickets, et cetera. ReelingFilmFestival.org is the website for that.
Absolutely. And I encourage people to definitely hop on there and check out and look at your schedule and compare, what you're doing versus what's going on at the film, because you might need to change it around. There's really some great stuff there. Many, many, many gay films. I mean, almost any of the gay films that I've ever seen on the silver screen, I've actually seen as part of the film festival. We have this wonderful resource in Chicago. So I definitely want to tell folks, hop on out there and do it. Support your peeps. You really got to do it.
So many, Brendan and I talked about this, and at one point, so many out filmmakers started in the gay and lesbian, film fest circuit. So there's always great potential to find the newest up-and-comer.
Hot talent.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's starting there. And then this weekend, we're going to see Will Ferrell in a movie that premiered here at the film festival as well. And this is called Stranger Than Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's a serious role for Mr. Ferrell. And he is joined by Emma Thompson and Dustin Hoffman on screen.
And I always rush to see everything Dustin Hoffman does. I don't know what it is about him, but he just attracts me to the screen. I'm stuck.
Well, there's a movie that's coming up also later in the year called Perfume, The Story of a Murder. I'm just going to get a little bit of a sneak thing that's on my top 10 list for the year, I'll tell you that. But that's much later. That doesn't come till the end of the year. But anyway, yes, he's wonderful in this film. Will Ferrell plays a man who's very, very, Harold Crick, who's very ordinary. He's an Irish agent, very boring guy, who starts hearing this woman's voice in his head. It turns out, immediately we know in the audience, it's Emma Thompson, this book writer, who's writing this guy's life, and then announces one day that today was his last day and he was going to die. So there are comedic elements to it. Ferrell is fairly serious. So that's opening this weekend. And then also, again, another little shout-out for Chicago folks. Alien is going to play November 10th and 14th at the Gene Siskel Film Center.
Ooh, yeah, well, you can drink beer and watch movies. I just have to point that out.
Yeah. That's one of my all-time faves. And I was very fortunate to recently talk with Veronica Cartwright,
wow,
one of the stars of the film, had great dish about the hellish making of that movie.
Oh, absolutely. I know part of the story back there where
there were
quite a number of surprises for many of those actors in the film, which I think was...
And she was very, very forthcoming. Did you know that she was the original Ripley?
No, I did not know that.
Yes, she was under the assumption, as was her agent, as were a lot of people, that she was going to be Ripley. And then I guess a couple days before, they said, oh, no, you're playing, you know, the other, I can't remember her name. But,
wow.
But anyway, check out, I'll have a big fun interview with her about that and a lot of other movies. That's going to be on my website that weekend.
Okay, and that website, and of course all these links are going to be on the show notes, but we want to tell people Night at the Movies.
Oh yeah, nightatthemovies.com.
Absolutely.
With a K. So that's that kind of weekend, and then let's see, a couple of other, following weekend, the 17th, we're going to get finally the next Christopher Guest improv comedy picture.
Ooh.
For your consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And this time out, he's taking on the movies. The premise is a small group of actors making a little independent film. A publicist starts a buzz, or there's an internet buzz, that one of the performers, who's played by the incredible Catherine O'Hara, my goddess, is giving an Oscar-worthy performance. So this buzz starts about this little movie, which is called Home for Purim. I'm not a Jew, so forgive me. Purim, Purim.
I think it's Purim. I like that.
Yeah, I think it's Purim, too.
We'll stick with that.
Yeah. And it's the usual group of people, Catherine O'Hare, Eugene Levy, Parker Posey, Mr. Guest himself, Ed Begley plays a gay hairdresser. He's so funny, Ed Begley Jr. And really, Harry Shearer, who you probably know from Spinal Tap and does all those voices on The Simpsons. He's had smaller roles. He had a pretty good role in Mighty Wind. He has a larger part in this one.
Excellent.
And, of course, Jennifer Coolidge is in it. She's so fabulous. And Jane Lynch, a former Chicago Annoyance Theater Company member, who is so funny, Fred Willard. I've seen the picture, and I'm just going to say what they do to Catherine O'Hara is it's going to be the photo of the year.
Can you imagine being on a set like that with all those people around? I would need a tissue because I would be laughing and snotting so much, I think.
Probably so much. I have a sense, though, reading some things, and I'm hoping to, you know, still get an interview with Catherine O'Hara, that a lot of these people probably save it for when the cameras roll.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, of course, there's got to be some crazy bantering with Eugene Levy. And,
oh, my God.
You know.
It's the gag reel that I want to see, truly.
Right.
I mean, I know just like on camera, they just go off. And you know, I always think, especially someone like Catherine O'Hara, who is funny with the blink of an eye, the woman can like turn her head and I'm laughing hysterically.
Yes, and she's pretty wonderful. So that obviously has a lot of interest to folks in our community. And
mm-hmm.
It's a very funny film. That's that weekend. And then the same weekend, Fur opens, the Nicole Kidman movie. Where she plays the photographer Diane Arbus, and it's the director-writer's kind of ideal of Diane Arbus. It's not really true. Some elements are true, some are not, and it's kind of his fantasy. You know, she was the photographer who photographed, you know, dwarves and Siamese twins, and known for kind of, you know...
quote-unquote freaks.
Yeah, yeah. So she meets, like, the biggest all-time freak, that's terrible for me to say, Rob, who's played by, of course, Robert Downey Jr.,
of course.
Who moves into this apartment building above her, and he's completely covered, he has this disease where he's covered with hair, so he looks like Chewbacca.
Oh, Robert Downey.
And so just imagine the sexual fetish that starts there and is explored in the movie, okay?
Otters and bears. Calling all otters and bears.
It should be called the Chewbacca Strait. But that's going to be certainly of a certain interest, I think, to some listeners. And then I'm going to make you happy because finally the following weekend, the 22nd, Volver opens. The Almodovar.
Just so excited to see that. Now, have you seen it yet?
I have seen it.
You have seen it.
Seen it. What, you know, I said it was a comedy. It's not a comedy at all.
No, it's actually a lot more tame in the humor department as far as an Almodovar flick goes.
Yeah, this is definitely save for me, Almodovar.
Almodovar.
Almodovar. Mm-hmm. And he's no longer Pedro Almodovar. He's now, you know, he's the one word like Karloff or Cher.
Right. He's just grown into it.
Right. He's just, which he should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a melodrama, and it's high melodrama, and it's patterned sort of after Mildred Pierce.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful retreat, I think, back to his hometown. I mean, that's where he's from, and that's his history there. So it's interesting seeing him sort of reinterpreting bits and pieces of his history there, which is why I think it's not so comic in nature. So.
Oh, no. There are certainly, you know, some moments of that. You can't have one of his movies without that. And Penelope Cruz is magnificent.
And she's drop-dead gorgeous in the promo posters.
She is drop-dead and luscious. She's so sexy and luscious in this. And the Carmen Maura, I'm not saying that correctly either, plays the mother. Mm-hmm. Also wonderful. Great cast. I love that.
Yeah, brilliant.
Very rich character. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say the usual Almodovar suspects are there. The old lady who appears in many of his films. She was a great Jehovah's Witness in one of his films. She's back. I can never remember her name, but of course
I can't either. The only one I can remember is it Rossi De Palma?
Yes, Rossi De Palma's in there. Of course, Carmen Maura from Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, which is
Rossi's not in the film, but I just love to look at. I could look at her face for about 10 years.
Exactly.
So, and then that same weekend, we got The Fountain, the Hugh Jackman.
Ooh.
Oh, it's not, what's her name? The woman who won the Oscar last year for supporting actress.
That one.
You know, the one that looks like Kate Winslet, but is not Kate Winslet.
No, which is funny, because Hugh Jackman's in that also that cartoon with Kate Winslet, so.
Oh, right. this is the Darren Aronofsky picture that's long-awaited, the follow-up to Rec Room for a Dream.
Rachel Weisz.
Yes, Weisz. Rachel Weisz.
Rachel Weisz. There we go.
I learned how to say it. Thank you. Thank you, Peter.
That's okay.
It takes place in three different periods in ancient Aztec time, now, currently, and then in the future. It's all shot in blacks and golds. It's a beautiful, beautiful film. A tragic, doomed romance with some elements. Very kind of a very out there sort of picture. Mm.
A little sci-fi, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to very metaphysical, very trippy, very, you know, questions of life and death, the big questions. This is going to have a devout, devout following.
Excellent.
So it's going to be a group of people that are going to go to the mat over this one. And then another group that's going to go the other way.
What? I don't get it. What's that?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's okay. They'll be talking about it. That's the good thing.
Yeah. So, and then do we have time for a couple of DVD things?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love if we take you from the theater to the home. So what's coming out on DVD? What can we find?
Okay, well, right away, I want everybody to run out and get Inside the Actor's Studio box set.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which they're starting off with Streisand, Paul Newman, and Robert Redford.
Okay, right there, that's worth the entire box.
Oh, yeah. And there's also, not in the same box, but they're also coming out with the Dave LaChapelle.
Wow.
Thing. And these are always just, even though he kind of fawns, he's such an ass kisser that...
Well, you know.
James LaPine. Like, you know, Barbara, I loved you in the main event. I can't say enough about you. Oh, you know, Robert Redford, you were so amazing in what's like his worst movie, Havana. What can I say? Oh my God, he was a bad one. And you know, if you can get past that, you know, that fawny, get that stuff. You know, there's a lot of interesting things that they all come up with.
True.
Yeah. So that's coming out. That's on Shock Factory. We love that. That's early November.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be out, I think, right when this airs.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a great one to start getting the stocking stuffers ready, people.
Oh, and we have so many stocking stuffers. There's a Brando collection coming out.
I think you might need a rather large stocking for that.
A big old stocking for those little. One of my favorite Brando pictures are Way Over the Top, Reflections in a Golden Eye.
Ooh.
in which he plays the closeted homosexual army sergeant in the South who's married to Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, wow.
Who's having the affair with Brian Keith, whose wife is bedridden, played by Julie Harris, who has this thing for her, I think it's like her Filipino gay houseboy.
Whoa.
And then there's this whole weird plot where Robert Forster comes in at night and stares at Elizabeth Taylor and stalks her, and Marlon Brando is after Robert Forster. I mean, it's so unbelievably homoerotic and over the top crazy.
Okay, that's going in my Netflix queue right away. Let me just tell you, I must see it.
By John Huston. So,
it
was like it's saturated in bad colors. It's one of those camp things you just got to go see it to believe it.
Got
it. Anyway, that's in that box set. You'll love that. We have a whole new Rodgers and Hammerstein box set coming out for Showtune Queens, of which I am proud to say, yes, I'm one.
Amen.
Let's see what else we got. That Girl Season 2.
Ooh.
With our lovely model, Thomas.
Do you know those DVDs were the hardest ones to get on Netflix? I swear to God, all the homosexuals in this community were renting them up. It was
They're so fun. Oh, yeah.
They are. And I was just taking style notes the entire time. It almost pushed me to drag this Halloween, I have to tell you.
Really? Well, all of her, when you see like the little documentary, she had somebody who did all of her fun little clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so crazy for that 60s look anyway. So.
I love it. The mod sort of.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's just, give me a Vespa now, okay?
Like, honey, I love. Let me see. What else have we got in, I want to mention quickly. Oh, a movie that I did love. It actually showed last year at Reeling and then got a release and is coming out on DVD. It's called Hate Crime.
Yes, I did see that. An amazing, amazing film.
Wasn't that a really wonderful independent film? Tommy Stoll's first picture starred Seth Peterson, playing gay. We love that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the boyfriend is a victim of a hate crime. And then there's a whole kind of kind of a revenge in the bedroom sort of thing that happened.
And there's this battle of churches, which I found so poignant. There's a couple of scenes where they cut back and forth between a very extreme and a very liberal church. And it was just very moving. That whole segment really, really stuck with me.
Yeah, I highly encourage, you know, all listeners to go see this film. I really, really, and it's enjoyable too. It's not just, you know, like a cough medicine movie, which is like, okay, I'm learning something.
Right.
Which segues nicely into An Inconvenient Truth, which is coming out on DVD, the Al Gore global warming picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming right before Thanksgiving. It's very entertaining and it's scary as hell.
Right. It's one of those movies that I need to see on DVD so that I can pause it and walk away. I can't quite take it all in a couple hours. I have to stop it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's one that you'll probably have to do that. But on a lighter side, to get, you know, right before Thanksgiving, then we get the 50th birthday edition of How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah,
love
the
Grinch.
Book. Not the Jim Carrey roadkill movie.
Thank
God.
But
the original Dr. Seuss, Boris Karloff narrated. There's going to be a whole bunch of special fun stuff on that. So.
Yeah, I would imagine there'd be lots of goodies there.
And I'm going to finish with one last thing in November, which is at the very end of the month, the Superman box set.
Ooh.
14 discs worth.
Whoa. So what are we talking here in this? 14 discs, Jesus.
Well, you got all the Superman pictures, plus I think Superman Returns is part of it, too.
Mm.
And they're all special editions. So all those Christopher Reeve movies, there are four of those.
Mm.
And then the new one.
Wow. So a lot of double discs with a lot of extra bits and pieces. And
yeah.
All the Chris Reeve you could possibly want. And more.
Yeah.
And more. What a full month we have. Indeed. Folks, check out reelingfilmfestival.org. That's going to be over pretty quick. So as soon as you hear this, jump online. I know you're listening to a podcast. You should jump online and check that out. Check and see what.
There.
Yeah, absolutely. you're already right there. Stranger Than Fiction, Alien at the Gene Siskel, which I think I have to make time in my schedule to see. I don't want to miss that. For your consideration, Home for Purim, Catherine O'Hara. You don't want to miss it. Fur, Robert Downey Jr., Nice and Fuzzy. We need to see that.
And
Nicole Kidman. Of course, Almodovar, Volver, a little bit on the serious side, but you'll love it, so just go see it. And The Fountain on DVDs, Inside the Actor's Studio, The Brando Collection, Rodgers and Hammerstein, That Girl, Season 2. Can't miss it. Hate Crime, which is just a brilliant film. An Inconvenient Truth, the 50th anniversary of The Grinch. Somehow I feel old because I think I remember something about the 25th anniversary, but we're not going to go there. And then the Superman box set.
But how old am I? God, if you can remember that, okay.
Richard Knight Jr., thank you so much for joining us.
And you're so welcome.
And we don't want to forget to tell folks, you know, check Richard's column out, Night at the Movies in the Windy City Times. You can check it out at windycitytimes.com. Or for a few extra bits and pieces and maybe some longer columns, you can check him out at Night.
Oh, always longer, always great stuff at my website. Go ahead, Peter, use it.
I was going to say at nightatthemovies.com. That's Night with a K. Richard Knight Jr., thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you, parents. We hope you enjoyed the fifth graders' orchestra recital.
What if wherever you went, you got more than you were expecting?
Hi, Daddy!
Hey, thanks for watching the kids.
Anytime.
How were they?
Good.
No problems?
Nope. Oh, and I taught Noah his multiplication tables, and I've got Wendy reading Shakespeare.
At LaSalle Bank, we think more is precisely what you should expect. More responsiveness, more service, more convenience. In a word, more.
Hey, Billy.
Hi, Mr. Schmidt.
What are you doing in the bushes?
Oh, I was getting your newspaper.
My newspaper?
Yeah, I must have been off balance when I threw it and I totally missed the porch.
Oh.
I just didn't want you to have to go looking for it.
Thanks, Billy.
And with any luck, our philosophy will catch on everywhere. LaSalle Bank, making more possible. LaSalle Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and The Pirate Queen, the world premiere pre-Broadway epic from the creators of Les Miserables and Miss Saigon. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Hi, Neil D. Paris here from NewWorldAstrology.com, Windy City's very own astrologer. Now you can have a personal reading based on your own birth chart. Discover your life path, your gifts and challenges this lifetime, relationship compatibility, career, finance, and more. Practical advice using real astrology. It's unique to you. You'll be amazed what your birth chart reveals. Everyone has a unique life purpose. What's yours? Find out more at newworldastrology.com.
So we're back, we're in the car, we have just left the baths.
My God, I have to echo Wanda Wisdom, I just heard the voice of God.
And I just saw somebody that I would still do who's over the age of 60. It's scary.
She
Peter,
was,
me, and the old woman.
I don't know, girl, you and the overalls.
She looked hot, hot, hot,
she
Barbara
did.
Streisand.
She did, I have to say. She
Barbara
really
Streisand,
looked,
Barbara Streisand.
She really looked incredible, and she really sounded much, she blew away all my expectations. I was so happy about that.
Yeah, it was really awesome the way it started. She came up out of the floor,
yeah.
And then spotlight, and then pink gel.
Bam,
went
right on her.
Right on her.
Because
you can't put the Vaseline on the lens in the concert hall.
No.
So you had to put the pink gel in the, in the little light.
And they had two big Trinitron-type screens showing her, and lots of soft focus going on.
Yes.
There. And then Il Divo, you know, not a huge fan, and some of the arrangements were a little awkward, I thought, with her. But
you wouldn't have kicked many of them out of the bed except to fuck them on the floor,
no,
would you?
Well, mm-mm. You know, I think the French one's the hottest, but the Spanish one has the best voice.
But the Americans won't be understand.
Yeah, well, I can hear through any accent. Come on, I speak how many languages?
So seriously, she said she had not been in Chicago to sing in 40 years. The last time she was here. Well, that couldn't have made
60
sense.
60-something or other.
60-something or other. But she said the last time she was here, it was, I thought her son was closer to my age. I'm telling my age. But I don't know. I thought she said something like she was...
You're old, Amy
son.
Matheny.
I am
no, I
old.
Know.
I'm an old woman. Old radio
old
woman.
Lady.
No,
but
I don't know.
She hasn't been here in a long time. But she did say that the cover of the album...
was shot on Lakeshore Drive for People.
The People album
was shot on Lakeshore Drive. She held it up. That was so awesome. She did this really great Q&A session where she elicited questions, I guess, beforehand from the audience. I don't know. We didn't see it in our
Nobody
box.
Asked us.
We didn't have those cards because I'd have given Babs a card about it.
We have good questions.
Questions about her.
We're journalists.
Yeah,
why
absolutely.
Didn't they ask us?
Well, I played
Peter and Amy from
TV.
The Windy City Queercast in the Bud Light box. That's what
would
you
like
should have said.
Would like to know.
But I thought she was really, you know, what I thought was great about her is she really just gave off this real air of compassion and positive energy and positive choices and the good things that we try to talk about. And we talked with Richard about this on Yeast Radio, but that we really aspire to be positive. Yeah. And I really felt that from her. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I expected it to be a little more confrontational and political based on what happened in New York and the F-word and the F-bomb.
Realize the whole media hype about everything. Sure. I mean, the media's magnification lens like blows everything up 100 times.
Yeah, but if she'd said fuck, it would have really made my jaw drop. Because she looks so elegant, like she'd never say fuck. You know?
She did, and I think she was just, she seemed, I mean, she's a great storyteller, which I never knew about her. I never knew about her in concert like that, in that form. I'd never experienced that before. This is the first time I've ever seen her live.
Right.
And I think she was just such a great storyteller. And it was so, it all had this positive spin on it. It had a great message. And I'm happy she shared all that with us.
Well, I thought it was just, she was very aware of her gay audience. And the big thing was, Peter and I we couldn't see who it was, but somebody was coming in and they had this wonderful wall of light and this camera and going through the crowd all the way down through the floor.
Yes.
And we were borrowing like binoculars and trying to figure out who it was.
Dark-haired woman.
We've thought of everyone from Cher to
Maria Shriver
to Lisa Madigan. We didn't know if it was local. And then we found out from the stage. Well, I think actually we said maybe it's Rosie.
Well, I think we heard someone scream Rosie. We're like, did someone just scream Rosie?
Right.
Is that what we heard?
But it was Rosie O'Donnell. I'm sure she was probably there with Kelly and probably doing it for...
I couldn't see another blonde around her, though. I could see a lot of white hair.
I didn't see her either, but Kelly's from Chicago, so they could easily have been here. But she said that Babs stayed in her place in Miami. Can you imagine Barbara Streisand calling and going, darling, my hotel is a mess.
Do you know
Stay with you? You have such good help.
Do you know how many housekeepers I would have to order to clean my house from top to bottom? I would be so frightened. I'd be afraid that there would be, like, a pubic hair on my toilet, and Barbara Streisand would tell everybody that Peter doesn't clean his toilet, and it would just, oh my God, that I would have been an absolute wreck, personally.
Yes.
That would have been me.
That would have been
you. But Rosie, obviously, is not like that. She's probably got access to the good medication that I don't, so.
Yeah.
But it was just
an
incredible...
She has an art studio.
She does. And she's a great photographer.
And she blogs.
Yeah.
She gets it all
in a
out.
Weird
poetry blogging
way. But what an incredible show. She hit all the songs and then some I just casually mentioned in passing.
Yes. We were talking about Into the Woods. It was really Broadway heavy show. I thought it was probably more standard kind of Broadway cabaret than other lineups and other shows that she's done. I mean, closer to kind of One Voice.
Right. I'd be interested
to see
her.
But she did so many songs from South Pacific. Yeah. I mean, Cockeyed Optimist and You Have to Be Carefully Taught, which was a beautiful medley
with Children Will Listen from Into the Woods.
And, and of course she did Somewhere from West Side Story. She did Unusual Way from Nine, which I just is one of my, is such an incredible song that is rarely sung.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she did all the standard Arlen's, Ebbs, you know, Come Rain or Come Shine, or...
The Happy Big...
Happy Days.
Jumpy.
No, she didn't do that.
No,
yes,
she did Happy Days Are Here Again.
Yeah.
But yeah, Unusual Way got me a little misty. I was a little crying.
Right.
Got a little heart problem of my own going on there.
Yeah, that's your song.
Yeah, it is my song.
That will be a podcast later to disclose.
I'm saying.
But there was a lot of Funny Girl. There were a lot of stories about Funny Girl. And just kind of her early days. So,
and she sang that
here,
little happy little stony end.
Yes. That was really her only tip to her disco days.
Right.
As I had wished, there was no main event.
No. Sadly.
There was Don't Rain on My Parade, of course, as an encore, and Smile as an encore.
We didn't get the George Bush thing, though, because he wasn't in town, the guy who apparently plays George Bush in her show. So that was kind of a disappointment, because I was looking forward sort of to seeing what that was all about. But that was okay.
But it was cool to have Barbara Streisand in the middle of a concert say the Democrats have taken the House, it seems, which is really, really cool. And because she's such a... And she, as she said, I wear my politics on my sleeve.
The great thing where she was, when she solicited questions on the cards, she said, People have heard this rumor about me that I walked into a room and fired everyone on the left. And then anybody who knows me knows that I would fire anybody on the right.
That's exactly
right. And it just had this
right.
awesome political slant to it. See, I remember everything in Ruthenie. I didn't need to take notes.
I know. I always have to take notes. I have to remember. I have
to go
back
through
it. It
was so endearing that she was scribbling the entire show.
I like to take little notes on concerts. I like concerts.
So cute.
If I'm going to talk about a concert, I like to take notes.
I need to get you a BlackBerry so you can type it out in your BlackBerry.
Don't give me any more electronic devices.
It to yourself.
Any more electronic devices. The one big omission besides no disco, really and truly, was the Yentl. And my girlfriend and I were both a little sad about that.
No.
So we're just going to have to go buy the DVD this week. Yeah. It's a missing link in our DVD collection.
The gap that needs filled.
It is. The gash that needs filled. The slit in the counter of DVD-dom.
And of course, you know, any concert that you go to has a downside. And the downside had to be these four drunken broads in the booth with us that were so out of control. They were out of control in their fashion. They were out of control in their manners. And they were out of control in their volume level.
Oh!
And personally, I wanted to stick my fist down any one of their throats, but I thought they might enjoy it. So I just sort of, we seemed to
the
get
drunk
away
ladies
with,
who didn't think I was giving her love. And I was like, shut the fuck up. We can't even hear her to give her love.
God, they were just so insanity. See, that's the reason that, for concerts like this, you should just separate the gays from the straights.
This is true. The messy straights.
The messy straights. I don't know what time they started drinking, but they were just a mess. But to the credit of the United Center, the box is incredible. The staff at the United Center, I cannot thank them enough. I'm going to have to make it a point tomorrow to call the service people and make sure I call their office and say that your people were just incredible, despite the rowdy customers, and really took such wonderful care of us. So props to the United Center. Props to Bud Light for hooking our shiznit up.
Yeah.
And we've just been listening to a little bit of the radio. It sounds like the house is in a good place, so it's a little bluer than it was when we first went to the concert.
So I guess it's time to kind of go with Tress of Fear and see how Election Day really turned out. We know the Democrats took back because Barbara said so.
Yeah.
So that can't ever go back on that.
Yeah, she's no liar.
But let's find out what the rest of the dish was about Election Night 2006.
This is Dean Evans.
And this is Dylan Reeve.
This is Gabrielle Schaefer.
And we are from the cast of Drag at the Neo Futurarium, and you are listening to
The Windy
City
Queercast.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, November 7th was an exciting election day, to be sure. Not only did Peter and I, we were in the audience at Barbara Streisand, get to hear Barbara Streisand declare that the Democrats had taken the House, which Barbara was very excited about. But, you know, everything now is unfolding to see that there's definitely been a message sent. And what is that message with the GLBT candidates? It's very exciting that we have Tress of Fear on with us again from the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund, who we talked with a couple months ago as we headed up to this election day. It seems like some of this work has paid off. Hey, Tressa, how are you?
Hey, good. Great, actually.
I bet. So let's just dive right in, because if everybody knows kind of a lot about you, and if you don't, we want you to go to victoryfund.org and find out about what this organization does to really help support GLBT candidates. So tell us, what were the key victories for GLBT candidates in this last election?
Well, some of the key victories that we had, particularly in November, we had Patricia Todd, who won her primary election to represent District 54 seat in Alabama State House, and now it's official now. She'll be the first ever openly LGBT person elected in Alabama.
Yay. That and Alabama is a changing.
Exactly. And that was a huge win, particularly after the primary. There was a hearing, and the Democratic Party tried to take her seat away from her, and she fought back and won her seat. So we are very excited about that. And then Kathy Webb in Arkansas, she'll be the first ever openly LGBT elected official at the Arkansas State House.
Awesome.
Very exciting race for us. Henry Fernandez in Indiana, he is now the first openly LGBT elected official there, and it's very exciting. We've been trying to get people in Indiana even this year, and his race actually came through, so we're really excited about that.
It's amazing that there are kissing cousins, and Indiana and Illinois could not be more polarized, isn't it? It's just a very funny fact of the Midwest, how these states rub up against one another.
Exactly. It's very interesting how that works, how just from one state to another can be completely different. And speaking of which, in Oklahoma, Al McCaffrey, who was finally elected this general election to the Oklahoma State House, and that's very exciting. We had already someone at the county level, but he'll be the first in the legislature there.
Awesome.
So that's very exciting. And similar in Missouri, we'll have our first ever openly LGBT senator in Julie Justice. Very exciting. Other exciting pieces that we have, Ed Murray in Washington State. He moved up. He'll be the only LGBT person in the Washington State Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And similar in Maryland, we have Rich Medaleno. He'll be the first ever openly LGBT person in the official in the Maryland State Senate. Those are very exciting races. In addition, Matt McCoy, who's in Iowa, he came out in his last term, and this time he was actually elected to his seat as an openly LGBT candidate.
How amazing is that? Like the affirmation of people right now. We've been talking about this. I mean, first of all, I just think it's fabulous how many firsts you just said in states history. I mean, really, what a revolutionary time to just show how much the nation is evoking change.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've been talking about since October, Peter and I, about how many celebrities and stars and politicians and people are coming out. I know that National Coming Out Day happens like October 11th, but it's been a little insane. But I'm sure so gratifying for somebody. Did he seek your help as soon as he came out? And did you all align yourselves with Matt McCoy at that time?
Yeah, when Matt McCoy, he had decided that he wanted to come out. He came to us for help.
Oh.
And we, through our through the Gay and Lesbian Leadership Institute, which is our 501c3 part of our organization, we helped him come out in a way that was most productive for him.
Yeah.
And we do that through our Coming Out Project for elected officials who feel like, okay, I think I can do this. I think it's time.
Hmm.
We want them to come out in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
A way that they control rather than someone else controlling it, the media.
Well, definitely an area that was controversial in the last presidential election, Broward County in Florida. Another big message sent to the Bush family. Talk about that seat.
Yeah, Ken Kuchel, he won a seat to the Broward County Commission in Florida, and he beat out an incumbent who was a governor, who was Governor Jeb Bush's appointee. And this person had previously been the state Senate president in Florida. And the fact that, I mean, it was a huge win that an openly gay man, Ken Kuchel, could pull this off. I mean, it was pretty amazing.
Well, and I know you've mentioned many people sitting in the House and in the Senate now, but even the bench saw some good turns in Oregon.
Yes. In fact, Judge Virginia Linder, she will now be the first openly lesbian state Supreme Court justice in the country in Oregon.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's a statewide race. It was really tough. Her opponent outspent her 2-1.
Woo.
And her opponent even stated today, he said that the best candidate won.
Wow.
And that was pretty amazing.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. So, I mean, you know, statistics sometimes are quite boring, but I'm sure that you all have done some, which I just think kind of shows the impact of this machine that has just shifted and kind of locked into place with all of these new GLBT people. What has the shift done? What does it look like, either in percentages or numbers of people that, you know, the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund has now helped either maintain their office position or stay in office?
Well, we had 67 winners this year out of our 88 candidates.
That's an awesome number.
67 out of 88. I mean, that's 80% almost, right? I mean, I guess like...
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's the most we've ever had. I mean, it just shows kind of what kind of a year this was. It was just really amazing. And then we had our first time candidates running for an office, the first time is openly LGBT. We had 37 of those winners. It's just amazing to us. And we put most of our money toward, even though we have some incumbents, we put most of our money, we put about, you know, 90% of our PAC money and about 80% of our bundled money all goes to these first-time candidates. So it just takes a lot of resources to get these people through, and that's why we exist.
Now, how do you think the marriage amendment ballot affected what you all were trying to do, either in a positive or negative way, or was there somewhere where the amendment passed and yet, you know, candidates were still elected?
Yeah, well, see, that's the interesting thing is that we find, and it happened in this election as well, in states like Colorado or in Idaho, where these marriage amendments don't pass, or when they get through, to, and they're not in our favor, we still get candidates elected. In Colorado, we had Doug Milliken win his first seat for a county treasurer position. We had Nicole Lefebvre in Idaho win her re-election. She's a state senator there. And in Virginia, this is exciting news, in Virginia, we had the first ever openly lesbian candidate elected there to a school board position.
Wow.
So, yeah, it seems that even though these ballot initiatives keep popping up and keep passing, we are able to, you know, people, all the voters agree that, you know, it depends on the person. You
right.
know, that sexual orientation doesn't matter when it comes to elected officials.
Were there any big disappointments? I don't want to linger there long because everything's so positive, but were there any, you know, sad news of people who did not, that you really thought maybe would, or upsets that you saw?
Well, there was a big upset in Chula Vista, California, where the mayor, Stephen Padilla, he came out last year at a Pride Festival. And unfortunately, he was not able to retain that seat. And from the polling that was done in that area, I think it had more to do with people didn't seem to have a problem with his sexual orientation and the fact that he had come out. It seemed like there were some other issues that were part of that, but we were really hoping he would retain that seat because it's one of the largest cities that had an openly LGBT mayor. So so that was kind of a disappointment. But overall, I think our races were, you know, we were very excited.
So I know that it's like the next day, they always say, I mean, I watched it on the West Wing. It must be true. Like the day after you get elected, you just start working on getting reelected. And we have a big election in 2008. What is the Victory Fund going to be doing to mobilize? And what can we as concerned voters and GLBT people do to help with the 2008 election to focus that energy?
Right. Well, I mean, one of the biggest things you can do is continue to give to candidates because it's, you know, as you can see with some of these races we had here in Washington and in Maryland, it's the people who are already elected that move up the ladder to these, you know, to the seats. And if you know, when people give money to these lower races, to the state-led races and the local races, these are the people who you need to invest in because these are the people who are moving up the ladder. And these are the people who are going to be elected eventually to Congress. And I know just right now, I know we have at least three or four people who are looking to run for congressional seats in 2008, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. And we really want to add to you know, to all levels of office. But it's particularly exciting when you get to see people move up and have federal level offices with openly LGBT people there, because it makes a huge difference.
One of the things we talked to Judy Shepard about with the Matthew Shepard Foundation is they did the, you know, a real big drive to kind of get out the vote in the GLBT community. Is this a concern for the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund on whether or not there is apathy amongst GLBT people, or do you think they will be energized from this turnaround that has happened?
I think they'll be energized. I mean, I think that people really see that when they do come out and vote, it makes a difference. And a lot of these races, you know, if you look at the Senate race, you know, just today, the Virginia race was called last night, and Senator Allen conceded. You know, it comes down to the last votes in some of these races. And I think people are seeing that their vote does matter, and it is important to get out and vote. And I know with our candidates, they're able to really motivate and mobilize the LGBT community to come out and vote.
Well, we want to let people know that if you saw all these wonderful wins and you're interested in running for office or are a supporter of GLBT candidates on any level, money is always needed, donations are always needed, and if you're interested in the services that the Victory Fund Institute provides, you can find them online at victoryfund.org. The link will definitely be in the show notes. And Tressa, I want to thank you personally for all the hard work that you folks are doing with these candidates. Thank you so, so very much.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Tressa.
Sure.
And folks, thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com. So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows at windycityqueercast.com and in iTunes.
And email us for giveaways at wcmgpromo@aol.com.
Folks, we want to tell you that the next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Get this podcast and more great ones like it on the High Performance Podcast Delivery Network from Podjo and Limelight Networks.
I love it.